So we're in a book series on the book of 2 Thessalonians. This is the second letter that the Apostle Paul has written to the Thessalonian Christians. I think it's really cool, and this is just me, sometimes my mind does these things, that we have a chance to honor our graduates at the same time as we are dealing with this particular text. Those who are graduating will, I hope, learn something and gain some truth through this passage of Scripture, as much as I hope everybody else will. Sometimes, though, when we participate in a book series, when we are looking at a particular book, it is really easy for us to forget that these are letters. These are letters that were written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica. And because we're just focusing on a few words, on a paragraph from this passage so that we can, you know, kind of divvy it up over the course of several weeks. But this letter and what Paul is saying in our text connects with not only what he said previously in this letter called 2 Thessalonians, but also what he said in the first letter to the Thessalonian Christians. So I just want you to kind of remember that there's a context here. We can't take the words out of context because then we can make it say whatever we want to, and that would do no justice to the Apostle Paul. So today we're going to be taking a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. These words are right on the heels of when the Apostle Paul was talking to them about the end times. And he has also talked about the end times in his first letter to them. So there's a lot going on. But let me just read these words to you about the verses that we're going to look at today. Paul says, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." These are really incredible words when you think about them, coming on the heels of the paragraph about correcting them because they had fallen into some deception regarding the end times. Paul is giving them a word of encouragement. He is trying his best to help them know that even though they had made a mistake, he hadn't forgotten about them. God hadn't forgotten about them. In fact, this is sort of like that, you know, that pat on the back. Oftentimes as parents, didn't you do that with your children? You punished them, and then when they were crying, you hugged them. Why? Because they needed it. They needed to know that you were still there, that you were still connecting to them. And so that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to do. He has not given up on them. Neither has God. In fact, quite the opposite. Paul says, "We thank God for you." Now, when I read those words as I was studying this passage of Scripture, I thought to myself, when was the last time somebody came up to me and said, "You know, I really thank God for you"? And it warmed my heart to know that it has happened, but some people never hear those words. Some people never hear those words. They don't know that they're connecting to something grander, something bigger than themselves. And so the Apostle Paul, he is giving them some praise that is well-deserved, some encouraging words that they really needed to hear. "We thank God for you." Now remember, Paul had just gotten done correcting them. They had believed some deceptive and some false teachings that were put about under the authority of Paul, but it was a lie. And so Paul is trying to correct that, and right on the heels of that, he says, "It's okay, because I thank God for you. I thank God for you." You know, I think it's something that we're missing in our world today. So I want to just take a moment. I want you to stand up And I want you to find one person in the audience, and I want you to tell them, I thank God for you. Go ahead. Take a minute and just find somebody that you really believe needs to hear that. It warms your heart, doesn't it? All right, you may be seated. I didn't know that the words, we thank God for you, could take so long. I should never have released that upon you. No, I'm teasing. You see, the Apostle Paul knows that sometimes we need to be encouraged. Sometimes we need to hear those words that we thank God for you. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we make mistakes. Do we sometimes believe things that are not true? Yes, sometimes we believe things that are not true. Do we sometimes fall away in our faith? Yes, sometimes we do that, just like the Thessalonian Christians. But we need somebody in our life to praise us and to say, I thank God for you. Because we're on this journey together. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. The reason that he is thanking them is because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. That's true of all of us. I thank God for you because God has saved you and he has given you a message and a ministry. We're on this journey together. They are growing in their faith. Paul has already said that. They are growing in their love for one another. He has already said that. And I'm so glad, Paul is saying, that we're doing this journey together. Even though Paul is not with them in this letter, he just wants them to know that through the grace of Jesus Christ, through God's gift, his sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, we are in this together. We are not islands. And so it was really important. It was really important for Paul to remind them that they are journeying together as a family of faith. Now, when I graduated from high school 1,000 years ago, I wanted to get away from Earlham, Iowa as fast as I possibly could. Because there just wasn't a whole lot in that town of 900 people. I never took time to thank the people that encouraged me in my faith. I wish I had. Because I had a Sunday school teacher as a senior in high school who was also a banker. But he loved the Lord. But he had a way of reminding us that he was in charge. And the way that he would do that was by saying, if you do not listen, I shall smite thee. Now, we knew that that was not possible, and he would not do that, but it got our attention. I'd like to thank him for taking the time. I'd like to thank him for all of those years that he studied and allowed me to learn a few things. I never did. I wish I had. Sometimes we just do not prioritize thanking the people who are walking with us on our spiritual journey because we are so focused on ourselves, on our career, on our education, on the direction that we think that we need to go that we forget that nobody does this alone. And the Apostle Paul is reminding the Thessalonian Christians, you do not do this by yourself, this journey of faith. And it hasn't been an easy journey for the Thessalonian believers. Remember, they had a rough beginning. It was a pagan nation, a pagan town. If you remember, we've been talking about how they were persecuted, how they had false teachers, how they were deceived. It was not a fun or a smooth sailing for them. It was rough. But Paul reiterates, he called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it's all about. That's the good news. The good news isn't about Paul. It isn't about Timothy or Silas. The good news is about Jesus Christ, who has come to save us from our sins. And we need to remember that, especially as we're going into college, as we're transitioning from junior high into high school, as we're transitioning from college into the workforce. We have to constantly remind ourselves that it is the gospel that is going to save us, not anything that we do, not the people that we know, not the relationships that we have. I don't care how many accolades you receive in college or in the workplace. None of that is going to get you to heaven. It is only going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to constantly be reminded of that, because it is through the gospel message that salvation comes. And it comes in light of the work, the sanctifying work of the Spirit through the belief in the truth. Now, here's the difficult thing. I had it, you will have it. There's going to be all kinds of college classes. There's going to be all kinds of high school classes where the teachers are going to say, no, the truth is only found in science, or it's only found within yourself. The Apostle Paul is reminding us that there is only one truth, and it is not found in the textbooks of this world. The truth is found in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we should just diminish or have nothing to do with all of the sciences and all of the other education that we receive. We just need to realize that the saving work of Jesus Christ, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and the grace that we have received does not come from this world. It only comes through Jesus Christ. So after establishing those realities, there's something that Paul wants the believers to do. There's actually two things. He wants them to stand firm and hold on. Stand firm and hold on. Paul is telling this to the believers who needed it in his day. They needed to know that there is not, it's not going to be an easy road, this being a Christian. It is going to be tough, but you stand firm and you need to hold on. First, he says stand firm. And stand firm is one of those Greek words that is characterized by steadfast loyalty. In light of the world of crisis that they were in, the Thessalonican Christians are urged to stand firm because God's salvation is where they needed to plant their feet. Now, I know that when a person goes to college, oftentimes, in fact, I've heard some statistics that 85% of the youth that go into college will change their mind about what they want to do with their life at least 7 times. Not everybody leaves high school and knows exactly what they want to do. It does happen, but most of the time you go to college because you don't know what you want to do, and so you're going to try this, and you're going to try that, and you're going to try the other thing. Maybe you'll even get a degree at some point, and you'll go into the workforce. You'll realize that you're not even using that degree at all in the workforce, and so you may have to go back to school. It is normal. I was talking with Janice Thody just this morning, and I said, boy, do you know, next year's Illini basketball team, nobody's going to know who's on the team, because there doesn't seem to be any loyalty anymore. I can get more money with my NIL at another college, and I can take my talents to another place, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter that this school has stuck with me. I don't necessarily need to stick with them. That's not true all the time. But it is a different world that we live in. And when it comes to loyalty, when it comes to that kind of standing firm, oftentimes we just don't know how to do it, because it gets rough and it gets tough. And we have so many things on our plates. We have so many homework assignments that we have to do and papers that we have to write and dissertations that we have to give that, well, you know, if I don't have time for God, he's a sport. He'll understand. And that's the way a lot of people live. And then we wonder why they're not coming back to church. Because they have not stood firm on the truth of Jesus Christ. And so Paul tells them to stand firm. Stand firm on the truth that God has known you and has called you to be his child. Stand firm on the gospel teaching of Jesus Christ that you have received for your whole life. Stand firm on the reality that though we live in the last days and a lot of bad things are going to happen and it is going to get worse, we will, as the church, be caught up into the air to be with Jesus before the worst happens. Stand firm on the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that is making you holy. It is the Holy Spirit that is teaching you what you need to know. It is the Holy Spirit that is convicting you. Stand firm on the Bible. Stand firm on the Bible as the word of truth. Many will deceive you into believing that there are all kinds of truths, that everybody's religion is just as valid as everybody else's religion. There is only one truth. Stand firm on the truth. But not just stand firm on that truth of Scripture, but stand firm on the truth that you are always going to be loved by God. Stand firm on the foundation that God's grace is our only hope of eternal life. Stand firm on the promise of eternal life. Supernatural encouragement from God. Stand firm knowing that your greatest cheerleader in this whole world and in the eternal world is God our Father. He wants you. That's why he loves you, is because he wants to. And as Paul wrote to another group of Christians in Corinth, he said these words, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Stand firm. Don't move. Even though the rest of the world is pulling you and tugging at you, stand firm on the truth. The second thing that the Apostle Paul says is hold on. Hold on. Grasp firmly the teachings of Scripture. This takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of tenacity. Hold on when other voices who sound authoritative are speaking words contrary to Scripture. Hold on when teachers are trying to discourage you from sharing your faith. Hold on when your friends are mocking you because you have faith and you have a desire to attend a church. Hold on when you desire to read the Bible, maybe listening to Christian music. Hold on to the truth. Hold on when you have met someone that you have fallen deeply in love with, but they are not a Christian. Hold on to your faith. Hold on when somebody that you are a coworker with or a roommate of says, "Why in the world are you a Christian? That's only for weak-minded imbeciles." Hold on to your faith. Hold on even when you don't feel the presence of God, when things are going on around you and you say, "I don't get it, God. Maybe you're not even here." Hold on to your faith even when nothing makes sense. Hold on even when you've sinned. Even when you have made a mistake, hold on to the truth that you can be forgiven. Hold on. Don't pull away. Don't let go. Hold on to the biblical truth. Hold on to the encouragement that you are not alone in the world. That God, through his Holy Spirit, is strengthening you and will continue to strengthen you. Hold on even when everything within you wants to grasp for the world. A couple of weeks ago, maybe it's been longer than that, maybe a month ago, Judy went up to Minnesota for a little while, and so I had a few evenings by myself. And so I decided I was going to watch the the trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. Maybe many of you have read the books or you've seen the movies, The Lord of the Rings. J.R.R. Tolkien is an incredible writer. The book series is pretty much all about a quest by Frodo to destroy a ring of power. And at the very end of the movies, he's gone to Mount Doom, great name. And he has the ring in his hand, and he knows what he has to do, but he doesn't seem to be able to do it because the ring is controlling him and wants to stay within his grasp. Well, there's another being. That being is called Gollum. He's kind of a creepy-looking guy. He wants the ring too. At the very end of the movie, they have this battle. I want to show you a clip. Don't let go. We all need a Samwise Gamgee in our life. We all need somebody. When we are grasping for that gold ring, we need somebody to tell us, don't let go. My friends, the journey is hard. The journey of faith is difficult. We can't do it in our own power. Paul has already taught the Thessalonians not to put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. That was in his first letter. And now he is telling them again, hold on. Don't let go. Don't you let go. Reach. My friends, I don't think that Paul could have said it any better. And so Paul ends with a prayer. And the prayer is really very simple. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. My friends, that is the most encouraging prayer that I could ever recite. Hold on and stand firm, because God is on your side.